You're listening to the Rubbish Trip Podcast. Two no waste nomads talk trash with people in Aotearoa, New Zealand.
So my name is Franziska von Hunebein.
Franziska von Hunebein lives in the Taranaki region, where she brought the first crop swap gathering to Aotearoa. Now there are 14 crop swaps across Taranaki alone, and the movement is gaining momentum across the country. Crop swap is about individuals and communities getting together to share amongst themselves any produce, seedlings, or other goodies they've had a hand in creating without the exchange of money. We were delighted to be able to sit at the table at which New Zealand's first crop swap was held to speak to Franziska about what crop swap is and how the simple yet beautiful system can enrich neighbourhoods and communities well beyond the food and produce shared.
When I heard about the crop swap idea, I was really hooked. So I looked it up and found crop swap movements in Australia. I liked the one in Australia most because it was just sharing and it felt so relaxed, and I loved that about it. So I thought, okay, I want this relaxed, generous, fun feeling. Yeah, I want to bring it here to New Zealand. Crop swap is a get-together of backyard gardeners and cooks and people who make things. Mm-hmm. And we all meet in a hall at a certain time for an hour. And usually, so I go there and open the doors, and then some people stream in already and help with setting up tables. So we have the big hall with lots of empty tables. And then people come and bring what they have a surplus of or what they are happy to share. So that can be everything from plants, seeds, fruits, vegetables, cuttings, seedlings, seaweed brew, so fertilizers, everything that can be useful in the garden or that comes out of the kitchen. So when people don't have a garden, they can do baking. Muffins are very popular.
Yeah, I bet.
And pestos and just things that we do at homes anyway. And we put it all on the tables and then have about half an hour to just walk around and connect. So that's a really fun part that we all treasure really highly, because we can make the connections, we can build the network, we can exchange gardening knowledge and inspire each other, become friends, learn from each other. And then after this half an hour, and of course everyone walks around and has a look at what is there and what they might be interested in. Then after about half an hour, the crop swap guardian, that's how I like to call them. So in that case in Maryland, that's me. We do a welcome. If there are new people, we explain again that it is about generous giving and mindful taking. And we probably share some community news, or someone from the group introduces a plant that not everyone might know. And then we say toha atu toha mai, which means I share with you, you share with me, and then we share. So everyone is welcome to take something off the tables that they are interested in. And it's usually very, very peaceful and wonderful. And because people bring what they have too much of, often they don't consider it as so valuable. So if they, for example, have a flood of lemons, they bring a whole box and they think, oh, actually I didn't really bring anything. And they take things that they are interested in that they don't have, so they feel really precious actually. And when everyone does that, actually it brings up this atmosphere of richness and
abundance.
Yes, abundance. I love that word. And everyone feels like they have really gained from that, and that they took more than they brought. But it's actually not true. Everyone has that feeling.
But I suppose they see people taking the lemons and being, you know,
exactly.
You know, everyone sharing the lemons, their contribution around.
Yes, exactly, and see the appreciation for it. Some people go through so much effort, so they make beautiful pestos and baking. Or the we have a core group in Maryland, actually, of people over 80, so really experienced gardeners, passionate gardeners, and they love to come because they get the recognition they deserve for the knowledge they gained.
So there's so it also must create an atmosphere where people talk about how they use the garden, how they're growing techniques,
yes.
you know, and all that sort of thing, sharing skills as well as the what comes out of the garden.
Yes, yeah. So possibilities are endless. We could also always do 15 minutes of knowledge sharing, of official knowledge sharing, where someone... So I've been showing how to make a very simple sourdough bread, and others showed how to transplant seedlings. We could do that. At the moment, I really appreciate the simpleness of it, that I don't need a lot of planning. I just open that hole and I know everything rolls by itself.
Yeah, that's so beautiful, isn't it? Like the community brings their own energy and organization and everything just...
And that's why it's so easy to bring it somewhere else or to take it over, to bring it to the place where people are, because they can just like the idea and know that it's actually not a big deal to bring it to their place. They just need the venue and let people know, and that's actually it.
It goes to show it's a really fabulous idea, because you don't need to overthink it.
Yes.
It is just what it is, and it's amazing.
Mm.
And it's funny how you're saying sort of people might come and maybe reappreciate the abundance that they have in their own gardens. But I remember we were talking with someone recently who's just started a crop swap in her part of New Zealand, or started attending. And the first time she went, she was like, oh, I didn't really, really get it. But then when I saw it before my eyes, I was like, oh my goodness. And then she said that she actually... from going felt really motivated to go home and spend more time in the garden, so she'd have more things to share next time. So it actually germinated in her this seed of wanting to do more gardening, which is also really cool.
That is cool. Often people say, oh yeah, I would like to come, but I don't really have anything. And I invite them anyway, because when I go around, then I see, oh, this lady's potting up the calendula seedlings. I could do that. That's really cool. Or it just gives ideas.
Yeah.
So things that we probably would overlook in our gardens usually as something no one is really interested in, we suddenly realize it's actually really precious, and other people love it and benefit from it. And so we just go through the effort of quickly pot it up and take it to the next crop swap.
Was crop swap actually your brainchild?
No, it wasn't really. So I heard about a similar concept in my organic gardening class that I had with the fantastic Dee Turner. I learned organic gardening for a year, always Tuesday nights, and there were always these awesome inspirations, these hints of people. And when I heard about the crop swap idea, I was really hooked. So I looked it up and found crop swap movements in Australia. I saw them in different places, but I liked the one in Australia most because it was just sharing. They had a little film, and it felt so relaxed, and I loved that about it. So I thought, okay, I want this relaxed, generous, fun feeling. I want to bring it here to New Zealand.
Mentioned this thing of generous giving and mindful taking. Could you talk a little bit about that and how that works, and what's the thinking behind that phrase?
So we had several little tries at the crop swap in the beginning where we tried out how we wanted to do it. So we tried out bartering too, so that someone brought eggs and then they were considered high value, and then we had some time where people could come and offer something for the eggs directly, and we found that really clunky, and we felt this tightness that it brought to us to put value on things and then negotiate around them. So we found out that actually the most joy we get when we just share, and when we trust that everyone is goodwilled. And everyone has the others in mind too, and their needs. And I love the opportunity of relearning this generosity and this community spirit and this consciousness of the well-being of all. I see that it works so easily. It seems to be something in our human nature that just knows how to do that from a long, long time, that we actually have done it. And it's super freeing. It's fun when you see people coming out of the crop swap. Everyone looks relaxed, smiling, enriched on not only their basket is heavy, but somehow it feeds our hearts and souls too.
And it's perhaps a reason why that happens, and also perhaps why people feel a little bit hesitant to go if they're not sure about the whole situation, because our society has become so used to putting a value on things and having to have that sort of monetary exchange, and you buy things that you don't really know where they've come from, and you know, there isn't that sharing and generosity.
Yeah, like fairness is now delegated to money to decide what's a fair exchange and that kind of thing, where rather than allowing our human understanding of generosity to dictate fairness, maybe.
And when I look into the garden, it's actually so generous. If you think of one tomato, how many seeds it has and how much potential out of these many seeds come, there is, when I look at that, there is no reason why there shouldn't be enough for everyone. And if we live out of that mindset of abundance, so many things become possible, and make life so much more joyful.
Yeah, for sure. And so this crop swap model, it's grown exponentially across New Zealand, but also in Taranaki, where it started. So there's, is it 14 crop swaps now?
I think we have 10 or 11 in Taranaki, but it goes over the borders of Taranaki.
Yeah.
So there is one in Mokau now. And it's growing. It's growing beautifully and easily. And that's just awesome to see.
Yeah. Do you know roughly how many there are around Aotearoa? I know there's probably them. They're probably popping up all the time.
I think on my list there are about 24 now. And most of them were started in the last half a year.
Okay. And you've sort of created a national network for those to sort of share the stories of other crop swaps and how it goes and how to set it up and that sort of thing?
So what I've done is I've set up a website, www.cropswap.co.nz, and it just shares the values of crop swap. Because it's really important to me that these are somehow run in all the crop swaps, that that people understand the essence of crop swap when they want to, for example, use the logo and be part of that particular crop swap. Of course, everyone is free to do whatever they want, but this essence is, I would like to, I really treasure it and would like to spread that.
Yeah.
So people can go to the website, get ideas, and what is beautiful is that there is a map, so a New Zealand map, where people can send me their venues and times and we can add it to the map. So when you travel somewhere, you can have a look at the map and see whether there is a crop swap
close
to you. Oh, if you just want to know which one is the closest to you. And I don't say that they are all on that map, but I'm doing my best to somehow bring them all together. Yeah.
So are you operating all this just through the kindness in your heart, or do you have some funding or some support to do this kind of administrative side for the wider New Zealand wide?
I do that more or less by myself, but I have generous helpers as well who help me to add things to maps. Because that's, their expertise, not mine.
Yeah.
So we have no funding. I have kept away from that so far because it can be limiting as well. Mm. So far, we have done really well without any funding.
Yeah.
And the only money that is involved is sometimes gold coin donations for the halls.
For the venues.
For the venues. But some of the crop swaps, for example, meet in cafes as well. Everyone benefits from that because probably people buy a coffee or an ice cream in the time. The cafes are seen as community supportive, which is good for them. And it's just a lovely cooperation that is possible there.
Nice.
But some halls are free. Some school halls are quite happy to bring in the community into the schools. So there are loads of opportunities for venues. Can be in a carport as well. We actually started here in this lounge on this table.
Oh, wow.
We had the first one. And probably 12, 14 people came.
Well,
that was a good start. And then we had to move to the hall because it grew so fast.
Yeah. It's so interesting how quickly it's grown and how much it makes people feel good to share. But I'm just so interested in why it hasn't happened earlier, you know, if it's such a popular, such an amazing idea. It seems like, you know, what are your thoughts on why this kind of thing hasn't happened? Up till now.
I think that this way of sharing has happened for millions of years. Just maybe until 30, 40, 50 years ago, where the big money story was told. And then we forgot for a short period of time, and now it comes back because we see that money alone doesn't bring us happiness. It's the connection with each other that somehow fulfills us much more.
And it's interesting you say that, because I think, you know, from this dissatisfaction with the way that the very rigid way that the capitalist system has developed, particularly with the consumerist thing, the rise of the sharing economy is becoming more and more prevalent. But even now, like, I notice sometimes, you know, like when I'm doing a little bit of research online, like Google the sharing economy and have a little bit of a read of new ideas that are coming up, that there are all these little websites that come up, how you can make money from the sharing economy and all this kind of stuff. And it, you know, it's moments like that when you realize,
paradox.
Oh, a swing and a miss. That, you know, we're still so trained into being like, well, this is a good business opportunity. You know, things like Uber or Airbnb, those kind of sharing economy frameworks. So, yeah, I think there's probably still a lot of work to go, because I think that joy that you mentioned, I feel like that joy that's associated with sharing comes from when the sharing is genuine.
Yes, I agree. I think it's just a little longer that we need to learn that. And crop swap is a beautiful opportunity to practice again this mindset. And I myself, I sometimes have days where things like how can I earn money as well creep into that, and I instantly feel the tightness actually when that comes in, and then I remember the joy and I know exactly which way I want to go. So it's just time that we need to learn
And so how would you like to see crop swap develop?
So as crop swap is about sharing locally grown food, I would love to see a crop swap in every neighborhood. So we are well on the way here in Taranaki.
Yeah.
So ideally people can walk to it. they don't have to drive, because that's a way to provide each other with food, to build connections in neighborhoods, and this all will make us happier and more resilient as well. So yeah, I can't see a reason why we shouldn't have thousands of crop swaps in New Zealand and worldwide. And what I love about it as well is it can be actually done everywhere. So it can be adapted to the needs and wants of the people who are running it. It can be South America and in Antarctica. There's always something to share. People always need to eat. So many opportunities.
Do you see a connection between local sharing economies, for want of a better word, and waste minimization? Can you see connections between that and something like a crop swap?
Yes, totally. Because what we often see at crop swap is people bringing their own containers. So everyone is coming with a box and a basket anyway. No one expects us to provide plastic bags. So people think before they come and they prepare before they come. And yeah, then they walk around and fill the containers that they brought with the things that they are interested in. So there is hardly any rubbish being created at crop swaps. Some people bring empty jars and provide them to others, which is a beautiful way of recycling. Some people bring empty planting pots that can be reused, or egg cartons. So it is crop swap helps to make the most of everything that is there,
that resourcefulness.
And I suppose having that sharing kaupapa, you know, people are actually preparing because they're bringing something too. You know, it bypasses that whole convenience-based mindset of, I'll just go to the shop and just get what I, you know, what I need, rather than actually I'm bringing something too. And so,
Yeah, and I suppose it builds creativity as well, because you never know what you're going to have in your fridge after a crop swap. So you've got to learn how to cook with different things. I mean, do you think it's possible for people in local areas to maybe survive with all their fresh fruits and veggies coming from a crop swap?
I don't know whether it's possible yet.
Yeah.
But when I see, for example, where I live now, I would have access to a crop swap gathering every weekend.
Wow.
So either here, next in the hall, or one that is probably 3-4 kilometers away, so I could bike there. I could even walk there. It would be a longer walk, but it's still quite accessible. So if I can get some fresh greens and maybe some eggs and half a loaf of bread and lemons, then this will definitely add to the food that I have in that week. I don't know whether I could live fully on that, but it definitely adds beautifully to it. And I know that I definitely save money. So the lemons are my favorite example, because if I would go to the supermarket and buy lemons, then I pay, I don't know, $7 per kilo for lemons that come from America. And if I go to a crop swap, I can get a little box full of lemons for free, and I probably took some leaves of my kaffir lime and some lemon grass and some calendula seedlings and made someone else happy.
That's so amazing. And this also reminds me, this other side of waste too is the food waste. And often, because we've been traveling around the country since July, and one thing we have observed in many places is citrus trees with lots of orange and lemons sitting under them, slowly rotting away. And to think, if whoever was owning those trees were aware of something like crop swap or had that available to them in their community, those oranges and lemons wouldn't go to waste.
Yeah, that was actually my big motivation, because I really can't stand fruit lying under trees rotting.
Yeah.
This is just heartbreaking.
Yeah.
So making the most of what we have is a big, big thing for me.
Yeah.
So satisfying as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so how do you feel that this, that people can be reached with this idea? You know, how do you see this idea spreading in terms of getting people who might not necessarily be interested or get the concept of this? How do you reach those people?
That's a good question, because often, let's say on Facebook, I am in the same circles of people who generally like these kinds of ideas. What I find is word of mouth is really awesome, because that goes out of my immediate circle. And if someone who experienced crop swap just shares it with their neighbor, or brings an auntie, or takes the neighbor's child, that's a beautiful way of spreading the idea, because they are reaching their friends and families and their circles. But it's easy to promote it in free papers like the Midweek. I think a lot of communities have these free community papers, all in school letters. It can be a letterbox drop as well, or just a pamphlet pinned on a fence in a neighborhood to let people know. The environment centers are usually very supportive and spread crop swap news in their social media. And
yeah.
So it's that side I found very easy too.
Well, you also mentioned there were some people who feel like maybe they don't have anything to share. So it would seem to me those people would be difficult to, you know, they might hear about a crop swap, but they might actually feel hesitant to take the step to actually go, because they feel like, oh, I don't have anything to contribute.
Yeah.
You're trying to, you see a way of making, you know, opening the space for such people?
I just always, when I talk to people who are hesitant, I do my very best to make them feel welcome, whatever they bring, because everyone really has something to bring. We had people who made music, which was lovely, and that's their way of bringing.
Cool.
We have people who tell everyone how much, how beautiful they are, and give them a hug.
Oh, that's so sweet. Yeah.
That is sweet too.
Yeah.
So it even doesn't always have to be produce. It can be other things too, in certain limits, of course, because we need the produce to share.
But I think also that thing of what we were saying about at the beginning, if people just come, all of a sudden they'll probably realize, oh, actually, that parsley that I have sitting, well, you know, that could be something that could come. Or maybe if it's hard to get people physically along, you also mentioned about a film that people could watch to see it without, you know.
Yes, so we have a beautiful filmmaker here in Taranaki, Anand Rose, and he was happy to make a film for us in exchange for an orchard. So a crop swap crew went to his backyard and cleared it all. It was pretty overgrown. And we planted fruit trees for him. And in exchange he made this film for us. And it's you can find it on YouTube. It has the title Crop Swap Taranaki. And that will give you a good idea of what is possible, what it is, what you can bring, how it looks like, how it feels like. Yeah, so you can get a feeling for it. And really, everyone is welcome to have a look at it and to try it out.
Cool.
Thank you so much for speaking with us about crop swap, and thank you so much for this taonga that you have brought to this country. It's just beautiful. And we went to our first one this weekend. We've been hearing about it everywhere, but our first one this weekend in Taranaki, and just blown away by what you've created. It's absolutely amazing.
And thank you for giving me this opportunity to talk about crop swap, because it's one of my favorite topics, as you can imagine.
Absolutely.
And it really enriched my life and on so many levels. So I'm very grateful for that. Mm-hmm.